This is Steve Schrupp, putting up Franklin Matters Radio Show, number 654 in the series. This session of the show shares the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, November 9, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. The school committee members were in the municipal building along with some of the public. Other members of the public joined via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distance requirements of this pandemic period. The recording of the public meeting runs about 55 minutes. The school committee entered executive session not to return to the public meeting. Links to the meeting agenda and associated documents released for this meeting are included in the show notes. The link to my notes taken during the meeting is also provided. So let's listen to this school committee meeting of November 9, 2021.
Good evening. The time being 7:04, I call the meeting to order. I just want to do a sound check and make sure that those watching via the Zoom webinar can hear me. If someone could raise their hand, that would be appreciated. Great. Thank you.
Awesome.
We start this evening's meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. Olivia Best is a fifth grader at Jefferson Elementary School in Miss Tracy's class. Every day, Olivia comes to school and greets her peers and the staff with a smile. She is a kind and respectful friend to all and a hard worker, always putting forth her best effort on her school assignments. Olivia especially likes literacy lessons at school, as she loves to read, and Wonder by R.J. Palacio is one of her favorite books. Outside of school, she plays indoor and outdoor soccer, and she started violin lessons this year too. Olivia exemplifies the Jefferson core values of safe, respectful, inclusive, creative, and invested with her positive attitude every day. We're so happy to have you, Olivia, and please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Olivia. And now we will have a moment of silence. Thank you. At this time, we have the organization portion of our meeting with the election of a chair. And at this time, I would entertain a motion for an election of a chair.
So moved. I nominate Denise Spencer for chair.
I second.
So there's a nomination for Denise Spencer as chair by Lee Stokes and seconded by Camille Bernstein. Is there any discussion? Okay, we'll now take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? The motion passes 7-0. Denise Spencer is the chair of the Franklin School Committee.
Dr. Hearn, I just wanted to say, I don't think that the audio is working.
They all raised their hands.
Oh, I think that, right. Yeah, there's no sound.
That's just TV.
No sound
on
the local
TV.
Okay.
We can hear you on Zoom. Okay. So Zoom's working correctly. TV part?
We continue with the meeting and elect a vice chair, and then we can work on the audio issues.
Okay.
I will now entertain motions for nominations for Vice Chair of the School Committee.
I nominate Elise Stokes.
I second.
Perfect. Motion and a second. Any discussion, questions? All right. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Seeing none. Congratulations, Elise, Vice Chair. Moving right along to routine business, review of agenda. Has everyone had a chance to review the agenda? Any questions? No? Okay. And we will, all right, before moving on.
I'm wondering if we may want to just take a quick check with the TV studio on the audio.
Yeah.
To check on what's going on, because we're people on Zoom can hear us, but I'm hearing
on TV.
People on Franklin TV cannot. Let me just check on that. Testing for TV. No, still no on TV. Oh, is it working? Yay! Live stream and TV.
I will verify.
Double check.
Yes, both. Okay.
Oh.
TV working.
Yes.
Yes? Oh, okay. You. Thank you.
Okay.
It's working.
Yes. People are saying yes. Well, one person
on Zoom, but are they hearing it on TV?
Yes.
TV's
working.
Yep. Looks like TV's working.
Okay.
Okay, good.
There it is.
Yay.
Okay, we can.
Okay, so we did review the agenda. Citizens' comments. So before we begin, I think that it's important. So the Franklin School Committee welcomes public comment and participation at school committee meetings. School committee meetings are conducted in accordance with the Massachusetts Open Meeting Law, General Law, Chapter 39, Section 23B. The public should have an opportunity to comment to the committee on issues that affect the school district and are within the purview of the committee's responsibilities. Therefore, the committee has set aside a period of time at each school committee meeting to hear from the public. Public comment is not a discussion, debate, or dialogue between or among citizens and the school committee. Rather, it is intended to offer citizens an opportunity to express their opinion on issues of school committee business. While the committee and or administrators will not typically respond to citizen comment or questions, the chair, as presiding officer of the meeting, may answer or request an answer to a question if she deems it appropriate. Further, should the chair believe that an issue or question falls outside the purview of the school committee, she may request that citizens direct it to the appropriate person or body so that the matter is given proper consideration. Items outside of the school committee's purview should be resolved using policy KE, public complaints.
School committee level airing of grievances should be a rare exception after all other avenues have been exhausted. Both policy KE and BEDH, public participation, are available at the table at the front of the room. As a new committee, we would like to be proactive so we may conduct an effective business meeting. As such, there are now expectations of conduct within council chambers. Certain behavior will not be tolerated. If an audience member persists in improper conduct, they will be afforded a warning. If the behavior continues, the chair is authorized to have the individual removed. So we will move on to citizens' comments. Would anyone like to participate? Okay, so just let me read the little blurb. In the spirit of open communication, the committee will hold a public participation segment about matters not related to an agenda item at the beginning of each regular school committee meeting. The committee will listen to but not respond to any comment made. A committee member may add an agenda item to a future meeting as a result of a citizen comment. The committee will hear public comments related to an agenda item when the chair deems appropriate during the committee meetings. Topics for discussion during the meeting must be limited to those items listed on the committee meeting agenda for that evening. Please reference policy BEDH for further information. Would you like to come up to... So if you could just state your name, address, and just a reminder that to keep it to 3 minutes.
Jacob Yunk, Reverend Dr. Jacob Yunker, Marvin Ave. I'm the pastor of the Franklin United Methodist Church and member of the Franklin Interfaith Council. And I'm joined by Rabbi Tom Albert, Rabbi of Temple Etz Chaim, also a Franklin resident.
38 Jefferson Road.
On October 28th, the Franklin Interfaith Council issued a call to our community. We are appalled, the council stated, by the recent lack of respect and civility shown to Mackenzie Atwood, a Franklin High School senior and student representative to the Franklin School Committee, who spoke with courage at the October 26, 2021 Franklin School Committee meeting about the discrimination she and her friends experience on a regular basis. The interruption and attempt to silence this student by speaking over her cannot and should not be tolerated. Over the last several months, the Franklin Interfaith Council has become acutely aware of an increase in hate-filled rhetoric and vandalism in our community. Hate speech and vandalism against members of the LGBTQIA+ community, racial slurs, and anti-Semitic graffiti cannot and should not be tolerated. We cannot allow ourselves to become numb to hate-filled language and actions, no matter how frequently they may occur in our community or elsewhere. We must speak out and act against hate to build a better community. Each of our faith traditions calls us to love, to value the sacred worth of everyone, treating each person with dignity and respect. To be very specific, let us love Franklin. Let us create a beloved community where all persons, regardless of their gender identity, sexual orientation, race, ethnic background, age, stature, ability, creed, or faith, can find a home. Therefore, we commit ourselves to love Franklin, and we ask you to commit yourselves to love Franklin too. As of November 2nd, this statement has been signed by 12 interfaith representatives from 8 communities of faith here in Franklin, 3 organizations, and 356 community members. Each of us have made the commitment to love Franklin. Each of us resolve ourselves to making the town of Franklin a more inclusive community where all are treated with dignity and respect. Together we commit to love Franklin, and if you or anyone watching have not already signed on to this statement, you are encouraged to add your name in Love Franklin too. You can add your name by going to the Franklin Interfaith Council's Facebook page or by contacting one of the Interfaith Council's member houses of worship, the Franklin United Methodist Church or the Temple Etz Chaim as examples. The Franklin Interfaith Council stands ready to assist this committee and the school administration in whatever way it can to help build a more inclusive community. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? If you could just come up, state your name and address. And just a reminder for the 3 minutes. Don't worry, it didn't start.
Good morning, members of the school committee. My name is Leo Covarrubias. I live at 55 Skyline Drive. I am a father of two, a kindergartner at Keller, and a preschooler. I would like to speak today on the topic of controversial books, especially about The Bluest Eye by Nobel Prize-winning author Toni Morrison. I strongly believe in the importance of books that challenge and compel us to examine our lives in relation to the experience of others. I believe that this is the way that we, and especially our children, can grow compassion, empathy, and a deeper sense of local and global community. I realize truly and deeply that the subjects and language of The Bluest Eye surrounding violence, especially and specifically sexual violence towards minors, are monstrous, villainous, and unquestionably horrific. But this book is critical in that the author unflinchingly challenges the reader to confront the experiences faced by the Black community in the time period the novel is set in. Poverty, oppressive notions of beauty, and especially a society that marginalizes Black people. It is a call to action to consider the ways in which racism continues to impact the Black community's experiences today. I fully recognize that very little can be more traumatic to a victim of sexual violence than reliving their experiences by unexpectedly reading a book like this one. But I don't believe that the solution is to ban a book or remove it from a recommended reading list. I ask that the school committee commit to challenging and empowering our students to be leaders for empathy and justice, and not to aim to protect them from controversial literature that speaks to the experiences of others. I ask that you continue to invest in our amazing school staff so that they and the district can fully support our students. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Ms. Spencer?
Someone else in the audience, and then we'll go to Zoom.
Okay. Oh. There's no one, but I just want to announce that if they choose to want to participate, I message the group, but just so you know, if anyone raises their hand, I'll let you know.
Okay, so just if they want to speak on Zoom,
no one
they have
has
to raise their hand. Okay.
Okay. First, congratulations to all of you, too.
Oh, thank you.
Kevin DiCrescenzo, 51 Miller. Imagine your child's doctor saying to you, "I will not know if this treatment is safe until after I give it." Would you allow the treatment for your child, or would you go get a second opinion? This scenario is relevant due to the FDA approving the vaccine for 5 to 11-year-olds. Are you aware the FDA said, and I quote, "We're never going to learn about how safe this vaccine is until we start giving it." Our kids are the test subjects. These are not my words, these are the words of the FDA. Do you remember when I said 2 weeks ago the CDC is reporting 17,000 people in the US have died due to the vaccine? Are you aware that number is now over 18,000? 2 weeks, 1,000 more people. If 17,000 did not shock you, how about 18,000? What do you think the true number is? The VAERS database estimates only 1 to 10% of cases are even reported. The information alone should be enough to put a pause in school encouraging the vaccination of our children. Let it be the parents' choice without interference. Allow the time to study the data, then discuss as a community. This refusal to consider opposing views on life-altering decisions are the reasons we are seeing parents passionately making their voices heard across the school boards throughout the country. Many of us feel these mandates are unconstitutional, unethical, and immoral. Blurring the lines between personal health choices and forced or coerced mandates are not acceptable. Since the school system has injected itself into the conversation, that should only take place with parents and a health professional, the superintendent needs to take a stance given her influence in this community. I ask the superintendent, do you believe the vaccines are safe and effective? Explain your answer tonight. Quote the science you believe. Give parents assurance. Silence on this question is no longer an option. Any silence tonight could only be assumed that you share my hesitation, or I'm willing to vocalize it with the community. The superintendent and the school board have the opportunity to be leaders. Leaders do not make easy decisions. Leaders make hard decisions. I hope you're all courageous enough to vocalize your opinions, even if your opinions disagree with me. I just want to hear what the opposing views are. Just support your thoughts by citing the scientific studies. Don't simply hide behind DESE or any other government official. You owe us that much. Just do the right thing, be brave. Thank you very much.
Was there anyone else?
Guess I'll just do this. Congratulations to all the members of the board. I hope you have a successful 2 years. You know, we could use a podium.
If you could just state your name and address, sorry.
Okay, Jackie Maciel, Elm Street. With a new board, it's like when I went to school and you had a new year after Christmas vacation. It was always a good time to institute new ideas, new discipline codes, whatever. And since you seem to be doing that tonight, I have a suggestion, take it or leave it. I would like to see the business routine changed. I would like to see the citizen comments follow the student representative comments. You know what happened at the last two meetings after the sequence. I think it will give the kids a chance to get back and do their homework and not be tempted to do what they're not supposed to and violate the rules. I also would like to point out that the school committee affords the citizens 3 minutes for a comment, but the school department takes 70% of our tax money. The town council meetings, the citizen comments are, you can speak up to 5 minutes, but they only take 30% of our taxes. I have a question, where's the equity? The other thing is, I guess it's sort of related to my suggestion to switch the two agenda items. At the September 26th school committee meeting, after one of the students gave her report as to what was happening in the high school, at the 15:50 mark, she then proceeded to give comments that went to 2024. Okay, that was 274 seconds. Us citizens were only limited to 180. That's 94 more seconds, or 52.2% more time a student got, rather than a tax-paying adult. On September 26, the same student at the 35:40 minute mark gave some comments again, and those were extended, they went to maybe 49 before there was that big interruption that we all, those of us were there, saw. Now, I'm not counting the minutes that she got after we pulled the plug and came back, but that was 5 minutes, okay? That's 71% more time than the public. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone on Zoom?
No one's on Zoom.
No one's on Zoom? Okay. All right, so I guess we will move right along to our FHS student representative comments.
Hi, everyone. My name is Natan Goyle. I'm the senior class president at FHS. And here's just a few topics and updates about what's going on at school in the fields of sports, full school info, performing arts, and more class-specific info. So starting off with sports, as you may know, a lot of FHS teams are in the midst of deep playoff runs. The football team definitely is, as you can see by our pseudo-mullet haircuts right here. But last Friday night, we beat Braintree 42-6 in our first round matchup, and now we are playing Methuen this Friday night at home at the Sydney Stadium at 7 p.m. So we please ask that the community continue to show out and support. We've had a great season so far due to your support, and we thank you greatly for it. There'll be more sports updates with Robin followed shortly. I'll now transition to the field of performing arts. The FHS Theater Company performances in Mamma Mia this weekend are going to happen with shows on Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Saturday night. So please come and support those students as well. And also, members of the band, orchestra, and chorus have submitted their audition videos for the Central District Senior Festival. It's a very prestigious festival, comprising of students from all over the district, the best musicians around, so best luck to them. As for class-specific news for the senior class, believe it or not, it is already time to order caps and gowns for graduation. So we ask senior students and parents to check their Franklin PS email for more information, and make sure that you order your cap and gown by November 19th. I'll pass it on to Robbie for some more updates.
Hi, my name is Robin Chaudhry. I am the junior class president at Franklin High School. To continue on with sports news, girls soccer team is playing right now at Franklin High School. The last update we got was that it was 0-0 at halftime. They won 1-0 versus Reading the other night off an overtime goal from Kelly O'Connor, so congratulations to them. Volleyball also won their match day, they won 3-0. They also won their last one against the Classical, so again, another team make it a team playoff run. And field hockey was also fortunate enough to win their game today. They won 2-0 after a 6-0 game against Lynn Class, or against Beverly last week. Boys soccer won their game last Thursday, 5-0 against Malden. But unfortunately, on Saturday, we lost on a last minute goal to Framingham, so we do not have the same luxury as the football team with our haircuts. like Nippon said, with the athletic games coming up and so many teams even playoffs, if you are planning on going to games, you want to buy tickets, prefer you buy them online via GoFan. You can check the athletics Twitter for more information. It's $5 for students and seniors and $10 for adults. Other than that, winter sports will be starting up after Thanksgiving, and we'll wait for more updates in the meantime. As for whole school info, today was the last day of quarter one, and grades officially close next Monday. Tomorrow and Friday, we have half days due to parent-teacher conferences, and Thursday will be off for Veterans Day. And the week of Thanksgiving break, we will have Spirit Week leading up to that, and then a pep rally on that Tuesday. Very exciting for the school. We haven't been able to have these big events, so everyone's looking forward to that. It's a good atmosphere in the school right now. As for class-specific news, the class of 2023, like the other three grades, we are selling pep rally t-shirts right now. We want to get unity within the grades. Those need to be bought by 8 p.m., which is half an hour from now. Make sure you buy your grades pep rally t-shirts if you're not done so yet. And we have a raffle calendar coming up. I know we mentioned that before. We had a lot of support and help from local businesses, so we'll be rolling that out in the next couple of weeks. And that's all for now.
Just to follow up and just to end with, I just prepared a short statement that I would like to read. I believe it is my right to do so as an FHS student leader who is directly impacted by the decisions of the school committee. So I felt the necessary to address the events that transpired at the previous school committee meeting. My intention is not to villainize anyone or to reignite conflict, but simply to reflect from a student's point of view. What happened two Tuesdays ago serves as a reminder that we as a school and a community have a lot of work to do in terms of ensuring a safe learning environment for everyone, not just most people. There are deep-rooted problems that must be addressed by students and adults alike, problems whose solutions will not be quick fixes and instead require nuanced conversations and an increased sense of empathy. Despite this, the way our community rallied against those who needed love and support the most was truly inspiring. As I passed through the Franklin Village Plaza on October 30th, and saw the massive show of support, led by many members of the school committee, I could not have been more proud to call myself a resident of this town. In the face of hardship, it solidified our dedication to consistently spreading positivity, something which isn't always easy to do. And it served as a reminder that everyone at Franklin High School, we want, need, and support diversity, equity, and inclusion. For the rest of the year, it will be our goal to make sure everyone knows that they matter. Everyone deserves to be welcomed as a member of the community, regardless of race, ethnicity, gender, sexuality, age, or ability. Franklin may be known for its rich history, but I would argue that the lifeblood of this town is its students and its public schools, and all that we achieve in the fields of academics, sports, and arts. This is why you all, as members of the school committee, possess one of the most important positions that we have in local government. To all members, new and returning, I ask that you please do not take for granted this awesome power that you have. Along with Dr. Herman, Principal Hannah, you have the full support of myself and the rest of the FHS community. Let the decisions you make be living proof that diversity of thought and experiences makes us stronger. Always keep the needs of those you serve in mind. And even when it is difficult to do so, display the positive attitude that we have seen in the past few weeks so that every student, parent, and teacher can say that they are proud to be part of the Franklin Public School System. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Do any of the committee members have any comments? Free to go watch the sports fall on TV. Okay, Dr. Hearn, superintendent's report.
Thank you. I've got a couple of things for the committee and the community this evening. At times, I may use the superintendent's report to follow up on items that come up during citizens' comments, although I don't necessarily touch upon everything that gets raised. And I thought that tonight, one of the things that might be helpful to remind people is that there are policies that govern curriculum and instruction. There is a large section, it's the I section in the school committee's policy manual. There are numerous policies that explain rationale and processes as related to curriculum and instruction. This includes instructional goals, curriculum development, library resources, material selection, public complaints about materials, student progress reports, promotion and retention, and more. So I would just bring that up at this point in time, just as an educational opportunity to point folks in the direction of the policies as it relates to curriculum and instruction. As our student representative said, we have parent-teacher conferences later this week. They are occurring in all of our schools, elementary, middle, and high school. ECDC does conferences a little bit differently, and they don't have conferences later this week. Teachers have been busy preparing their remarks and observations to share with families, and they're also looking forward to listening to parent and guardian input during the conversations. We are offering conferences both in person and virtually this year, taking into account things that we've learned and benefits coming out of the pandemic. And as they had said, conferences are tomorrow and on Friday, so school is a half day for students. On Thursday, it is Veterans Day, it is a holiday and no school. And we want to thank our veterans, all who have served, and those in active duty military. This is also a week of appreciation. This is National School Psychologists Week. Our school psychologists are critical team members in working with our students. They are experts on how children learn and brain development, and they actively complete developmental assessments to inform our educator teams. They also provide counseling supports for small groups and for individuals. They share their expertise with administrators, families, and faculty and staff during meetings and professional development. Certainly, school psychologists are an integral part of our team, and we are happy to celebrate them this week. I'll be hosting a parent-family coffee next Wednesday, November 17th, at 7 a.m. So sometimes I do them at night and sometimes in the morning. It will be virtual and held over Zoom. I always enjoy sharing what's going on in the schools and answering great questions that families put forward. A link will be sent soon via Regroup and Twitter. If you get a moment, check out the Parmenter Twitter feed. I will post some pictures in the superintendent's report. Parmenter hosted artist Brett Bataclan, who has been in some of our other elementary schools as well, putting up murals. And he has been working with art teacher Caroline Whalen to display several murals across the Parmenter School. These are focused on their core values, which I can tell you at Parmenter are more than words. They're actions and behaviors that are actively fostered in the school culture. So I have some pictures to post with this report tomorrow. And just one other thing, stay tuned for a radio show coming up. I was invited to join Pete Fasciano on Toward a More Perfect Union, and the topic of conversation was Portrait of a Graduate and ways in which we are striving to meet that vision. So that is coming up. I don't have the broadcast dates, but I just wanted to give you a heads up on it and share. Happy to answer any questions you have.
Okay. All right, we'll just go down the line. Camille, any questions, comments?
None.
Okay. David?
Dave works well, but no, thank you very much.
Al?
So I love the fact that the parent-teacher conferences are both virtual and person. I think that is a great mix. I guess, do you know the percentage of how much are in person versus virtual?
I don't know right now, but I'd be happy to bring back some data after the conferences come this week and let you know.
Cool, yeah, that'd be great, because I think it's a great option for folks to have, especially being able, if you can't get there in person, so thank you.
All set?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think the participating in the radio show to get that message out to the community with what we're doing with the Portrait of the Graduate is an excellent opportunity, so thank you for this update.
I'm all set. Okay.
All set, too.
Sarah, I'm just wondering if maybe at a future meeting, if we could maybe have some information on the role of student reps?
Sure.
Just to kind of get the information out there. I think it would be helpful. And also, just as a reminder to the new committee as well.
Sure.
All right, moving right along. I see no guest presentations. So I guess that brings us to discussion action items.
In your packet is a policy, GCRD, mm-hmm. Tutoring for Pay. It came at the last school committee meeting for first read and was recommended for second reading and adoption at tonight's meeting. Just by way of background, the policy subcommittee has been working through the G section of the policies, which is about personnel. And tutoring for pay came up as one that needed some revision. We have not looked at the G policies in some time, probably 8 to 10 years, I wanna say. So we've been working through the G policies. Tutoring for pay was a much smaller policy. The changes that are proposed are in green. They largely come from the conflict of interest law. There's a frequently asked questions section that details in much greater specificity than it used to what teachers can and cannot do related to tutoring students within the public schools. And these protections are put in place around preventing a conflict of interest as teachers cannot be, as a result of their employment, as a result of their position, be kind of in a position of undue influence or receiving extra compensation. There could be a conflict there. Happy to answer any questions that you may have about this, but I'm recommending that policy GCRD, tutoring for pay, is adopted as detailed.
Okay. I will now entertain a motion for adoption of policy GCRD, tutoring for pay, as detailed.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion, questions, comments? Camille? Dave?
Yeah, just two things. Paragraph 2, starts with a teacher, staff member may not tutor students. But then kind of the next line down, they say that they should not tutor students. I didn't know if, it seems like, you know, with the may not, we definitely kind of close the door to say if they're in the classroom, it may not happen. But by kind of just changing the language to should a line later, I don't know if that kind of opens up some ambiguity. If it should just be may not consistently within that paragraph.
Lucas, thoughts?
I agree for consistency. I think that's the spirit in which it's written. So I agree.
And just one.
Yeah, I would agree too.
Okay. Just one other thing then on the fourth paragraph. Second line, public school employee cannot use a school or district website. Do you know if we should add also like social media, such as say like a Twitter handle, if that should also kind of be included on there, just to be abundantly out of an abundance of caution.
I think that may get a little blurrier in terms of whether it's a personal account or a personal account on which they're denoting themselves as an employee of the Franklin Public Schools. I think I personally think the first sentence covers it in terms of cannot use school resources.
Dr. Hearn, can I add a comment?
Sure.
Maybe I think this line is speaking to district issued, so we do have handles that are related to school.
Yep.
So maybe the district social media accounts, so that it covers not using school-based resources. Maybe if there's one extra example in there around like district social media accounts. So it says district websites. Maybe
Or social media accounts.
If that makes sense.
Yep. Yep. I think that makes sense.
Okay.
And that's it. Thank you.
So with that, I think it would be a motion to, I think we already took a motion, but we need a motion to
amend
and approve as discussed.
All right, so I now entertain a motion to amend policy GCRD, tutoring for pay, as discussed.
Sayo?
Okay.
So I think you want to amend the motion to approve the policy as discussed. I think the motion should be to amend the motion.
Motion to amend the emotion. Motion to amend
to
the
approve,
motion.
To approve as discussed.
To approve as discussed, okay. Motion to approve.
Motion to amend
the motion to approve GCRD tutoring for pay as discussed.
As discussed.
So moved. Okay. All right. Comments, questions, Camille, Dave? No?
No.
Makes sense?
Thanks.
All set.
Okay. All right. So there's a motion and a second. Seeing none, vote will come. A motion to amend as discussed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none. All right. Moving along.
Okay. So
discussion only items.
Is just an update to the school committee. At the last meeting, the policy around face coverings was amended to comply with the Department of Education's guidance and kind of authorizing me to apply for a waiver. The waiver was applied for and I received approval yesterday that should we choose to move forward at the high school, because we are above the 80% threshold, we could have masks be optional for vaccinated individuals. So I just wanted to give you that update that's where it stands. There's currently a fair amount of conversation going on among superintendents and school districts about how they might proceed. Hopkinton has moved forward with that at their high school, and Medway has not yet, although they've approved a process for it. They have not met all of their criteria, particularly the pool testing criteria threshold that they set, so they have not actually implemented. Mm-hmm. But the other districts who may have received waivers are also kind of in the same place around thinking about the logistics of implementation, but in particular the monitoring of unvaccinated individuals in the school community. So we do have the approval, and I just wanted to fill you in on that.
Any comments, questions? Camille? Dave?
So I know it's early, so we don't have a time frame, but I guess if we had to give a ballpark rough time frame, we thinking like a few weeks before we have a plan of how we're going to tackle this, like what's the temperature look like?
Yeah, I think over the next couple of weeks we could put together a plan. The sense that I get from the high school faculty and staff and students in particular is that they would welcome the opportunity to have masks be optional for those who are vaccinated. That's kind of been the mood up there, and so I would like to gather a little bit more information about what metrics would be appropriate around which we would need to ask for the masks to be back on as a requirement, There's a couple of things that have been talked about, and Medway's put some information out, and I'd like a little bit of time to put a proposal together, but I think within the next couple of weeks, we could have that for you.
All right, great, thank you.
Dave?
And this way, is it, so it's effective as soon as we have a plan for it?
Yes. Yeah, so it would come to the school committee for a decision based on a plan that we would outline for you.
Excellent. And just follow up to that, how do we know how Hopkinton's doing so far since they've...
Yeah, I've talked with the superintendent there, and I think it would be okay to share that, you know, they've moved forward with masks as being optional. Not everybody who's vaccinated at the school is choosing to go that route. They have pursued a permission form. So they have an indication of whether or not there's parent permission for students who are underage to remove their mask. So that's kind of some of the logistics that some of the districts are kind of working on. But I think it's going fairly fairly uneventfully.
That's good to hear.
Nope, that's helpful. I think you asked some of my questions, and so you answered them. I appreciate it. Thanks.
No questions.
I guess I'm just, could you explain what the permission form was?
So they had a process by which parents would sign a permission form to kind of grant permission for their vaccinated child to not wear a mask.
Thank you. All right. So I guess now we go on to information matters, which should be short. Mm-hmm. Elise, if you wanted to talk about School Wellness Advisory Council.
Yeah, with SWAC we met this morning. Last time we had done an assessment, the WellSAT, and so today we were looking to align our policy to our WellSAT assessment results. And we got through that a little bit, maybe halfway, but we certainly have more work to do. So on our next meeting on December 7th, we'll continue to work through that.
And just as an update on the MASC resolutions that we discussed at the last meeting, I virtually attended the MASC conference this past Saturday, which was great because I was able to scoot to soccer. So all 9 resolutions were approved. Resolution 2, homework gap and Wi-Fi internet access, it was amended to include pre-K, but otherwise no changes there. So I would just like to ask all members if you could please review the subcommittee and liaison descriptions within the next week and send me your top 3 choices, and we will go ahead and begin assignments and have an update for the next meeting.
Chime in on substance abuse task force.
My
do you mind if I come up just to address everyone?
Good evening, folks. I'm here as a representative of the Substance Abuse Task Force and the work that we're doing. We have many members. We're really excited about the work that we're doing, but we wanted to announce that we're going to be hosting next week on Thursday, make sure I get our dates right, Thursday, November 18th from 6 to 8 p.m. in the Franklin High School Auditorium and via live stream. We're going to be hosting an event called Critical Conversations, Identifying and Addressing Mental Health and Substance Use Among Families and Within Our Community. As we know, these are two critical issues that many communities are faced with. We're very lucky to have a partnership with Safe Coalition and Jen Knight and Jim Derrick and the work that they do to partner with us to help put in supports and different things that we can use within our community to help just improve and address some of the issues that we're facing. The night we've structured, we tried to be responsive to what we've experienced in the past around open forums and whatnot. So the night will consist of a panelist, a group that has a diverse perspective on substance use and mental health. We have a detective from the Franklin Police Department. We have someone from the medical field, mental health field, education, and someone who has lived experience in the realm of substance use who will speak at a panel. From the panel, we will then provide an option for some breakout opportunities. What we've learned in the past is when we've hosted panels, the discussion happens, and then at the end, people kind of hang around and want to pick the brain of someone who maybe a comment resonated and whatnot. So we'll afford the opportunity for folks who do attend to jump into a breakout session. At the same time, we have Hidden in Plain Sight, which is a program where we set up a mock bedroom of a teenager's bedroom, and we're training some of our student leaders that are on the Substance Abuse Task Force to facilitate that walkthrough and talk through what you might look for in a student's bedroom. That could be if you had questions or concerns. And then also there'll be an opportunity to empower parents and provide information and skills. We have some cards on how do you have those initial conversations that maybe you weren't prepared to have with your child without completely disenfranchising them or escalating a situation. You know, what types of skills and how can you frame those conversations? So I want to just provide that type of detail. It's hot off the press. This will be out via social media and on our website as well. And we'll put this out via email so that you can get all the information regarding the evening. And it does say the panelists. You might know who they are. We thought we'd provide as much detail as possible. We hope folks can either tune in live stream or attend Franklin High School to see the event. So I just wanted to put that out there, and we hope that people can come and take something away from it. Thank you.
Thank you. On to new business, Dr. Ahern.
Thank you. So new business, the next meeting will be Tuesday, November 23rd, mm-hmm. and we have typically had at 6 p.m. a school committee workshop to kind of talk a bit about norms and some kind of core key policies that are helpful to know early on. At your seat, there is a handbook that we prepared ahead of time so that you have it. So we'd be going through that at 6 p.m. on the 23rd. We will have a late dinner for the workshop. I anticipate at the regular meeting, which will begin at 7, that we will have a presentation about our MCAS results and other assessments on how students are doing academically. I intend to present you with a job description for a Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in order to get that approved. And there may be some other matters. If we have mask follow-up, that may also be anticipated on the 23rd.
Thank you. Consent agenda. So for this, do we have to break it up into two parts?
We should break this up into two parts.
Yeah. Okay.
So the first part would just be for returning school committee members. I recommend approval of the minutes from the October 26, 2021 school committee meeting as detailed.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the October 26, 2021 school committee meeting as detailed.
So moved.
Do I second? All right, second. All right, so two yes, five abstain. All right, there we go.
Aye.
There you go. All right, perfect, done. All right.
And then the other consent item is I recommend acceptance of a check for $1,000 from the New England Patriots Foundation for supplemental curriculum materials as discussed.
Entertain a motion to accept the check for $1,000 from the New England Patriots Foundation for supplemental curriculum materials as detailed. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? None. Done. All right. Payment to bills and payroll will handle.
We will pay those.
And we'll assign someone to review them for the next meeting.
We'll assign someone to review them for the next meeting. But they will get paid.
Okay, good. Perfect. Executive session. This is where we all this. Okay. All right. Executive session pursuant to Purpose 1 Mass General Law, Chapter 30A, Section 21A1. To consider an open meeting law complaint against public officers, namely the members of the school committee, filed with the committee by Christina Black and dated October 29th, 2021. Pursuant to Mass General Law, Chapter 30A, Section 21A3, to discuss strategy with respect to litigation as an open meeting may have a detrimental effect on the litigating position of the public body and the chair so declares. Pursuant to Mass General Law, Chapter 30A, Section 21A3, to discuss strategy with respect to collective bargaining with the FEA RN unit as an open meeting may have a detrimental effect on the bargaining position of the school committee and the chair so declares. Do I have a motion to adjourn to executive session
and not return?
And not return. Okay.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Roll call vote?
Roll call vote.
Oh, we have a roll call vote?
Yeah.
No, we're all here?
Yeah.
All right. Camille?
Aye.
David Callahan?
Aye.
Al Trail?
Aye.
David Field?
Aye.
Lee Stokes?
Aye.
Mike Littman?
Aye.
Denise Spencer? Aye. All right. All right, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.